every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
You know you've been waiting all week for, at the edge of your seat, listening into that radio dial for your leaky timeline. That place on the dial where time itself drips out. And we bring you phenomenal guests that don't help you seal that leak, but actually make that leak much more interesting.
Wider and a bigger leak. Yeah, I know. You've been waiting all week. You're like, I don't want to listen to sports anymore. I want to hear from Eric and Guy about some weird tech culture stuff.
Absolutely. And thank you, Eric. Your guest. I mean, not your guest, your host, Guy Sengstack.
What's up, Guy? How you doing, man?
And we have a phenomenal guest on today with us who's live in the studio with us.
Yeah, it's really nice to have somebody in studio. We've got my old buddy, Larry Sweeney. All right, so let me set this up. Larry's I used to be in this networking group when I was a young lawyer, and it was this thing called BNI. I don't know if you ever heard of this. You get together in the morning before your workday starts, and everybody kind of trades referrals for. You got the plumber, you've got the chiropractor, you've got the dentist, and me, the lawyer, and you've also got the handyman, right? So we'd get together and we'd share referrals, and we all became buddies. And you know, some of my best friends came out of that time. And one of the funniest, weirdest, greatest dudes was Larry Sweeney. And Larry Sweeney had he was a builder, he was a handyman, and had a pretty thriving thing. But he'd always been trying to figure out, how can I kind of take this to the next level? And I don't even know where the idea came from, but he came up with this brand called Handyman Heroes. And he started up this basically, it's a handyman outsourcing. Is that, I don't even know if that's the right way to put it. Larry, is it a handyman outsourcing?
Well, no, technically we're not a marketplace. I mean, all the guys, we are a business. They are all employees.
Yeah.
But we are, to that point, we're serving a marketplace that a lot of other contractors don't really want to mess around with. It's a credible, professionalized handyman service.
Okay. All right. So it's a handyman service, and now it's crushing. And then he pivoted into some AI stuff, which is completely weird what I want to talk about. Okay. Well, that's a great place to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages with more from Larry Sweeney on your Leaking Timeline.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code ROYAL25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code ROYAL25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code ROYAL25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Do you have a book? Get it out of your mind and make it a real book with a free guide to book publishing. Trying to publish a book yourself can be complicated. It takes a lot of time. Time that you could spend writing your book or even more books. Do what you do best. We can do the rest. Thousands of authors across the nation have trusted our book publishing service. We have the connections to help you get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. We can do it faster than you can on your own. Get your free guide to publishing. It's a free phone call. Remember, make this free call right now and learn how to turn your book into something real that people can buy. Get your free writer's guide. Call right now. 800-482-8399. 800-482-8399. 800-482-8399. That's 800-482-8399.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work. Real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. That's 800-219-2494.
Welcome back to the Leaking Timeline with Eric and Guy. We're in studio today with Larry Sweeney from Handyman Heroes and from Larry's Workbench, his YouTube channel. You can join the conversation at 800-878-7529. We'd love to hear from you. So, Larry, you know, we teed it up a little bit. It's a fun story how you went from being a builder and a contractor to then having a handyman company that runs lots of handymen all over the Bay Area and is growing and it's very successful, and then pivoting into AI. So let's hold that for a second. I want to hear a little bit more about Handyman Heroes. How's it going? I mean, when we first started talking, you were just figuring it out, man. You were like, you had the truck and you had the cool logo and you had some ideas about the website, but this thing is huge now. I see your trucks all over town. Mm. How's it rolling?
You know, it's interesting. There was a moment because back before we started up HH, Handyman Heroes, you know, I was a conventional contractor. We're doing a lot of kitchens and bathrooms type of work, and that had been my career for a long period of time. And there was a moment when my business partner, who's my business partner to this day, we kind of hatched this idea of like, wow, nobody's really serving this marketplace, especially here in the Bay Area, maybe for realtors that need things fixed up. They need a credible, like I said, a professional type of service to come up and do these things. Nobody's serving these jobs. Nobody's doing it. And so it was this sort of moment where I had to ask myself, do I want to take this ride?
Yeah.
Am I ready to kind of jump into this thing, which is going to have this huge learning curve? It's going to, you know, because you don't build the business, you build yourself. Right. That's one of the starting principles. So am I ready to do this? And I asked myself, I took the proverbial long walk in the woods. And I said, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll do it. Let's go.
And by this, you meant not just being a builder yourself, but actually running a startup.
Essentially running a startup, essentially running a larger business, a business that is sort of built to scale.
Yeah.
And that's a whole, and you know, that whole kind of premise that whatever got you to this level is not what's going to get you to the next level.
Yeah.
So you're on this personal journey of growth to grow your business, let's say, or whatever it is. And you keep having to evolve your processes and your practices. And I said, yeah, you know what, I'll at least learn something along the way.
Yeah. And that niche that you were serving, so you were doing full scope, you know, bigger projects, right? And then the niche that you were seeing that wasn't being met was like, hey, I'm a tech worker at the Facebook and I don't know how to change my light bulb kind of thing, right? And so they'll pay you to come in and like just do the most basic things.
I hear it all the time, in particular in this area, and I think that it would probably translate to other areas, but there's just not a lot of people. So what's interesting is that the traditional contractor business has its own life cycle. And yeah. So it starts chasing larger jobs.
Right.
And due to economy of scale.
Yeah.
So it creates this market vacuum, this interesting market vacuum for like you have a, say you have a little rotted porch or a little doorknob or whatever. Who do you call?
Yeah.
Well, you call me. That's the issue. It creates this interesting little market vacuum where these jobs, I like to say that we do the stuff that no one else really wants to mess around with. And so as a result, you know, and we're, you know, we're licensed and insured and all those types of things because we're able to work in the high rises and downtown and all this stuff. But, you know, we're doing jobs where it's a little bit of a less competitive market, frankly.
Yeah. That's the key, right? The fewer the competitors, the better.
And in order to make that shift to that company, what did you have to give up yourself in order to make that transition? Did you have to say, okay, I'm not going to take any more like kitchen jobs or any of the things that you were doing? Was there like a clear, like something that was difficult to let go that you had to let go?
That's a great question. That's really insightful. You've got to be willing to move out of your comfort zone. So we kind of hedged our bet. We continued taking those jobs and we folded my previous company into Handyman Heroes as a sort of a big job division, let's just say, and kind of folded that in order to keep the lights on, keep the cash flow going, because those transitions can be frightening, right? Because your whole all your cash flow, all your revenue is revolved around what you've been doing, and now you're talking about doing a new thing where you don't have proof of concept, and every business I like to say goes through the valley of doubt. Right? Seems like a good idea. But then if it's such a good idea, why isn't someone else doing it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you have the idea, it seems like 16 other people have the idea too.
Then other people have the idea. So now we're talking about execution.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe you're trying to execute faster or whatever it is. Yeah, I watched other businesses come along. I watched VC-funded businesses come along and try to move into the space. I watched HomeJoy. I watched Handy. I watched all these different kind of, you know, because we're here in San Francisco. I mean, you see a lot of that around here. And, it's operationally difficult. So it's very difficult to get it right.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, our focus is to just really succeed regionally.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've obviously talked about expanding out of the area and we've talked about franchising. We've talked about this and talked about that. But right now we're just focusing on delivering a great product, you know, just saving the world one garbage disposal at a time.
Well, what happened? I mean, I remember it wasn't just HomeJoy and Handy. It was also Amazon or not. Yeah. Home Depot was trying to get into it. And all of those, as far as I could tell, all those venture backed attempts fell flat on their face. What set you guys apart from them?
You talk about Amazon. Amazon called me. Amazon said, hey, you know, we want to, because you think about it this way, Amazon, Jeff Bezos. I mean, he sells everything, right? So why not services?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Let's get a piece of that pie, right? Well, services are difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Services are very difficult to deliver well. They can be delivered at scale, but it's difficult to do. Look at a hospital. Look at H&R Block.
Yeah.
You know, they sell services at scale. It can be done. What sets us apart is we're just really focused on the here and now. We're not really. I don't have any VC, so I'm not beholden to the investors.
Yeah,
and we can build something off of a solid. We bootstrapped the business basically, and it was a little bit of a scramble to make payroll once in a while. The old credit card payroll. you talk about bootstrapping a business. Bootstrapping a business is like having 4 or 5 days worth of runway in your business and still being able to sleep at night, you know, and I went to one of these accelerators and kind of got to experience some of that. But yeah, we're focused on just delivering a great service regionally and within the Bay Area And then we'll kind of see where it goes from there.
And I think, if I remember too, recruiting was a trick. You know, finding quality service providers to go out on your behalf and maintain the brand and up to a certain standard. Mm-hmm. And you had to figure out a way, I'm assuming you had to figure out a way to train young folks who hadn't done this before up to capacity. Did you solve that?
Recruiting is just like a sales funnel in reverse. So you've got to always be marketing, and you've got to be always kind of casting that net, and then, you know, qualifying prospects, and then getting one that sticks, and so on. So we do have a pretty sophisticated training operation at this point. We call it Handyman University.
Nice.
And we put the guys through the Handyman University, and that's ongoing. It doesn't time out, right? So so we're constantly learning new skills and constantly trying to build that culture within our core values. We have a core value of continuous improvement, so that kind of speaks towards educating and getting better at what we're doing. Core values towards 5-star customer service. You know, what does that look like? You know, it's the same way you enculturate that into, let's say you're running a 5-star hotel. If I go up to the front desk, I'm going to have a 5-star experience because that person behind the desk has been trained to deliver that experience. It's not that different, but, you know, we are working with tradesmen on the front half of their career, tradesmen on the second half of their career. You know, I've had pretty good success with both, but they're different. Cohorts.
Well, it's been amazing to see the trajectory. It's really so impressive to see the trucks all over town. All right, well, that's a good place to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages with more from Larry Sweeney. Maybe we'll talk about some AI. Who knows?
Here on Your Leaky Timeline.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as $1 a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. That's 800-918-6189.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than $1 a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than $1 a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. That's 800-245-2751. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
All right, welcome back to Leaking Timeline. We're here in studio today with Larry Sweeney from Handyman Heroes and from Larry's Workbench. You know, Larry, it's been, like I said, it's been amazing watching the trajectory, and it seems like Handyman Heroes has got some stability now. And when we were having lunch a couple weeks ago, we were just catching up, maybe it was a month ago, and you were telling me that you had started a YouTube channel, of all things, and that it was focused on, is this the right way to put it, softening the blow for people about what's coming with regards to AI? Is that a good way to put it?
I think that's a handle on it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay. And so what? And the YouTube channel's got a pretty substantial following at this point. And what you do is you build robots. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So. Interesting story here. I think maybe a lot of your listeners can probably relate to this. So I have an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And so I've always been kind of a futurist, always very interested in science fiction, which now is rapidly turning into science fact. And we're at this point now in society where my responsibility is to shepherd my 11-year-old into this new world. And I found that a little bit intimidating, right? Because we don't know what this new world is exactly going to look like.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of struggling with that. And
that's what every generation has always said. We don't know what the world is, you know, how do we prepare our kids? But it seems like there's something different.
Well, there's something different now because, okay, so I am kind of a techno-optimist.
Yeah.
And that being said, we're moving into an accelerated time frame. So I believe that humans are adaptable, but the accelerated pace of what is about to happen, the sort of explosive nature of how this is going to take over all segments, is something that is going to be very difficult for people to prepare for and be ready for. I mean, it's all fun and games until you lose your job.
Yeah. And by this, you mean artificial intelligence specifically. That's what you're talking about.
I think it kind of broadly put, the digital revolution that is most, it's kind of centered around AI and robotics.
Yeah.
And the profound societal impact that I believe we're going to see.
And we're just starting to see some of those layoffs and some of those job losses that result from this stuff. It's early days, but people are starting to feel the pinch a little bit. But what you've always said to me is, Eric, people don't know what's coming. They don't get it. Is that?
I do believe so. I'm on Twitter a little bit here and there, and I read something that it's like we're all out kind of pre-dawn in the surf. And you see this tsunami wave come in, and you know all we can do is ride it, and a lot of people on the shore maybe aren't quite aware of what's about to happen. I don't want to be an alarmist,
yeah.
Because I do believe, but I think that it's part of the theme of your show here is that people can start wrapping their heads around some of this. And for better or worse, you know, perhaps it's time to start retraining. Perhaps it's time to start learning new skills and trying to figure out what types of things are going to be resilient in this new economy.
And so then build robots. How does that connect up?
Well, that's where I landed. So robots, to be candid, is just my entry point into all things STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and that's the educational protocol. But I thought, okay, you see robots in cartoons. Robots are kind of cool. They're funny. They're accessible. And so I just started building robots. And I thought, okay, well, let's post these videos on YouTube. And they're kid-friendly. A 12-year-old could go out and build the robots. And the robots talk and, you know, speaks 50 languages and all this different stuff, right? So I... that's all stuff that can be done now. And I'm getting feedback from kids, parents, school teachers that are saying, hey, this is some great content that I'm using to kind of educate or, you know, kind of an entry point, or even just to spark a dialogue in what's actually possible.
So when you say robot, I mean, are you building Optimus humanoid robot can come in and do your laundry? what are we talking about here?
The robots are on wheels. And simply put, I started with wheels because that's easier. It's an easier lift. And I think the concept of humanoid robots is kind of overrated. I think one of the robotics developers at Google happened to be in a wheelchair and said, well, you know, something on wheels can go anywhere I can go.
Yeah.
So I think there's an artifact where we're trying to design a robot that could navigate in the human environment. And so a humanoid would be appropriate for that. And humanoid robots will get built, and we see them. Obviously you've seen the videos, and yeah, they exist, and you're going to see them all over the place. But, something on wheels is an easier lift.
Yeah. So these videos are instructional videos about how to actually assemble the robot that you've designed?
I've got a series of tutorials. It's all open sourced. The code is all open source. It's all in Python. I learned Python for this project.
Nice.
I started that about a year and a half ago, and I used ChatGPT as my tutor. The learning curve was probably a fifth of what it might have been if I'd have just started sitting down and try to learn it on my own.
Wow. Hold on. How long did it take you to learn enough Python to actually do this?
6 months.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, that's like,
how long ago did you teach yourself it?
I started this whole project roughly a year and a half ago.
So I bet it'd probably take less time now,
given where it's gone to. Yeah, to really kind of lock this down, you know, before I started this, I had very limited tech background. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I've got a talking robot at my house. You know, I've got C-3PO practically. So, I mean, this is kind of an interesting – that's my premise here is that this is something that people can wrap their heads around and do.
Yeah.
And so, it's interesting.
So to get clear, were you interested in building these robots and putting them up on YouTube because you had a kid and you were like, how do I – you see the tsunami coming essentially, or were you a robot geek – and you would have done this anyways. What was the order of that?
I don't think any of this would have happened. I mean, I've always thought tech was cool and robots were cool, but it wasn't really my thing,
yeah,
you know? And so I don't think this would have happened but for me trying to land on something that could be fun and educational for a next generation.
Yeah, so this is specifically really out of you looking into the future and thinking about your child and perhaps humanity in general.
That was absolutely the genesis of it. I remember actually I was sitting in the airport, and when this idea kind of first came to me, I was like, I wonder if you could get a hobby robot to talk, because ChatGPT had come out. I wonder if you could like use this same technology to get a talking entity, right? And it just kind of flowed from there. And I thought, okay, this is going to be a great thing that I can kind of share with people on YouTube, and I can, you know, share with my daughter. And it's just kind of intended to demystify and sort of empower people to say, hey, I can take control of this technology. I can do something fun or interesting or useful with this. And that's where Larry's Workbench was kind of born. The name Larry's Workbench allows me to a variety of projects on that platform, and promote that. And I don't make any money on it. I just do it.
Yeah,
just do it as a service.
Totally. Now, what is the? You know, I think you'd probably agree. All three of us would probably agree. Most people do not actually see the tsunami coming, right? It sounds like you're not. You said you're like not much of a tech guy originally. What is it that had you see the tsunami coming, you think? Is it a quirk in your character? Was it something happened in your life? Like,
you know, so I interestingly, so I'm 58 years old, okay? And I grew up in tech, in high school and college, way ahead of the curve. I mean, I had my first email account when I went to Berkeley. I had my first email account in 1984, right? So that was before the internet existed, okay?
Yeah.
So before any of it. So I was into tech, I took a little detour into the trades, okay? And that detour lasted for what, 35, maybe almost 40 years?
A big detour.
Yeah, okay. And that's fine. I've had a great life, and I don't regret it. And when AI came along, I kind of thought to myself, you know what? Nobody knows anything about how this technology works or where it's going. I got an on-ramp. I'll just get back in it. That's cool. And I'm not sure if that precisely answered your question, but that was kind of how it happened. It was kind of around the COVID years. We're all sitting around locked up in the house, and I had an opportunity to play around with ChatGPT, and at that point it was GPT-2. I had the opportunity to play around with GPT-2, and my mind was just blown by what this thing can do, and then thinking exponentially about what it's going to be able to do in 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. And I thought, okay, this is to your tsunami kind of point, this is going to flow through society in a really intense way. And people aren't quite seeing it yet. Of course, your listeners are seeing it because they're listening to your show.
Yeah. Right.
How do you see it impacting the trades?
Oh, that's a good question. So I go to these trade conventions, and some of the organizations, we belong to several trade organizations that are very tech forward. Very interestingly, we are actually right now rolling out a technology which it's an AI which is designed to answer the phone for trade and service organizations.
Wow. So yeah, all right. Well, I mean, they are thinking about it. People are using it at every single level. It's going to start hitting everybody in their pocketbook pretty soon.
Yep.
All right, well, that's a good place to take a break. We'll be right back with more on your Leaking Timeline.
Take a deep breath and visualize. It's this weekend. You just won up to $100 instant Kohl's cash just because you were one of the first 100 in-store customers. Plus, you'll save big during the 48-hour holiday savings blitz. Visualize it all happening this weekend at Kohl's. No purchase necessary. While supplies last on 12/20/25 and 12/21/25. One card per household. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Offers end December 21st. See store or kohls.com for details.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Have you suffered sports betting losses? There is someone who wants to fight for you to see you get back what you have lost to those sports betting companies. Michael Watts is a prolific trial lawyer with over $11 billion in total recoveries for his clients. And now with sportsbettingclaim.com, he'd like to help you. Michael has been a leader in some of the largest and most complex cases in the country, from defective cars and tires to damaging drugs and medical products. He has always represented the rights of individuals harmed by large corporations. His efforts recently resulted in the recovery of billions for individuals who lost their properties to fires carelessly caused by electric companies and others. Michael knows that sports betting companies preyed on and manipulated consumers into losing their life savings, and he wants to make them pay. If you have suffered financial hardship as a result of online sports betting and would like help seeking compensation, please submit your claim information for evaluation at sportsbettingclaim.com. Michael Watts is focused on winning for you. Sportsbettingclaim.com.
Calling all motorheads. It's time to rise up and pay homage to the Freak Nation. Or just flip your fat radio on to Speed Freaks every Sunday night at 7 Pacific on the Sports Byline USA Network. Join me, Kenny Sargent, with Statman and Crash Gladys for a freak of a good time as we drop in on the biggest names in motorsports, from IndyCar to NASCAR, the drags to Supercross, and a big-time rock and roll band from time to time. That's Speed Freaks, Sunday night to 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
All right, welcome back to your Leaking Timeline with Eric and Guy. We're talking to Larry Sweeney today from Larry's Workbench, 800-878-7529, if you'd like to join the conversation. All right, now, we were just getting into this question of how is the AI tsunami going to affect the trades? And I, you know, my perspective has always been probably the trades are the safest for the time being, until we have full-scope humanoid robots, which we're having... There's challenges on the humanoid robot front. So we're a few years away from people's jobs really being affected there. But you are starting to see some initial changes in the industry.
Well, we're seeing it. I can relate it to the recession. You remember the Great Recession in 2008, right? Every out-of-work web developer showed up and tried to move into trade work. Okay. So then what happens is that now the trades, we do need qualified workers. We don't particularly need unqualified workers, but that's a different question. And what happens is you know, it's a supply and demand, right? You pour more workers into those jobs that are left, it's going to depress the wage scale.
Yeah.
Right? So the trades aren't safe, so to speak. That's a kind of a narrative thread that you hear. And they are and they aren't.
Yeah.
So that's I mean, it's not like, if I'm a plumber, I could be the best plumber. But there's only so many toilets, and if there's, if you double the number of people that want to go fix them, that's going to affect my business.
Yeah, it's not the robots that are taking the jobs. It's everybody who lost their jobs doing something else.
It's job displacement. And so, again, I do believe that we will all find a way through this because we are a resilient species. But along this time around, it's going to happen pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, say more about that. You're focused on the resilience piece, and that's the whole point of Larry's Workbench, is to start training little kids, to start having the conversation, to engage with these tools and these technologies, and to not be scared of them. And if I'm extrapolating from that, I guess your theory is, well, we adapt. We just have to learn how to use the new tools. Don't be scared of the new tools. Is that sort of the basic thing?
Yeah. Because the tools are coming whether you like it or not. I don't think you can effectively regulate it. Our leaders, politicians, I'm not going to get political, are not really in a great position to figure it out. Technology is moving too fast. As a matter of fact, I looked up the other day, the total revenue of the Magnificent Seven tech firms is something like 30% of the total revenue of the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is becoming, the technology is now kind of taking on a country scale. And so, trying to hold it back or regulate it or do kind of that kind of thing is going to be, I don't see that as being super feasible. So it's coming. Let's suppose that it's just coming. Okay. So you have to figure out how you're going to fit into all of this.
Yeah.
Each listener, each of us, has to kind of find our way through this. And of course, if you've got kids, all the more reason to kind of get this figured out.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I think you said something about, you mentioned this in the email last night, you're expanding the kind of content you're putting on the YouTube channel.
We are expanding it into certain areas. I've got the name Next Generation Robotics, which is could be a business entity or might end up just being an educational platform, to be honest.
Nice.
We haven't really quite honed that just yet. I have a software developer buddy who's working with me. We're kind of kicking some ideas around for, what we could do within this. Not really towards monetization, but really towards just kind of getting something out there that can help to cushion the societal blow. And I think education.
Yeah,
education and demystification. I mean, I know that's a lot of what you guys are doing on the show here, is trying to present these ideas to your listeners, and your listeners can start picking and choosing of what makes sense for them and what resonates.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the tech stack in these robots. I can't stop thinking about these little robots on wheels, man. So, all right. So you've got a robot that you've built with open source components, and you coded up the way that it moves around in Python. It's a programming language, a good entry level, very, very general use programming language that you taught yourself through using ChatGPT. And then on top of that, the brain of the machine is ChatGPT itself?
Good question. So the brain, I think of it as having two parts of the brain. There's a local processor, which is a Raspberry Pi.
Okay.
Raspberry Pi is a little single board computer. It's pretty powerful. It can do a lot of different things. It runs Linux, essentially. And it's an $80. I'm sure you're familiar with the Raspberry Pi project.
Yeah, but explain the whole thing.
It's a project that was developed in England maybe 10 plus years ago as a sort of a little entry level computer. The little computer is about the size of a deck of cards, let's say.
Yeah.
And it's used for embedded systems or educational contexts. Mm-hmm. So the Raspberry Pi is pretty well established. There's millions of people that develop on the Pi and use it for many, many, many different types of applications. So the so-called brain of the machine is this little Raspberry Pi, which then proceeds to use the internet as an API call to OpenAI. I use OpenAI. I have a developer's license or a developer's account, let's say. And it just sends its query up to OpenAI and gets back its response, and that's what it uses. Hmm.
So the local controller, the thing that's controlling how the robot moves around, is on the Pi, and that's built in Python. But then it also has this kind of speech center, if you will, that you can communicate with this.
Correct, correct. The way I kind of conceptualize it is it sort of almost has like two parts of its brain.
Yeah.
It has a local brain, which is handling motor controls.
Yeah.
And those kind of things. It's got a microphone. It hears what you say, takes that audio, sends it up to OpenAI, gets a response back, which streams through a speaker.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And is there any way to integrate the two so that you could talk to the Its voice is a ChatGPT avatar. Could you speak to that ChatGPT avatar and tell it to move itself?
That's what we're working on right now. So it turns out the models at OpenAI can deliver structured output. And I don't want to get too wonky, but yes, to your point, it can send a JSON back and trigger motor controls or have the robot do certain things. The robot has a camera, so it can see its surroundings. I should have brought it in. The robot can see its surroundings and so on. It can recognize itself in a mirror. His name's Floyd. It's Floyd the droid. Floyd can recognize himself in a mirror. And Floyd can look around and say, oh, I'll roll over here or roll over there. So we're now working on building that level of autonomy into the thing.
And which elements of this can our kids monkey around with? I've got a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old at home and a 9-year-old. I'm assuming probably not quite. It's probably a little too advanced for my 5-year-old, but the 9-year-old, definitely he can read and he can code and. Right, he can mess around with it.
Probably, I mean, you could check out my my videos are usually in 5 to 10 minute chunks.
Yeah,
so they're intended to be pretty digestible. The whole Floyd the Droid project cost me about $400 worth of stuff, and you got to have a computer to code on. But you know, if you kind of those are really the only hurdles. And I've conceptualized that a kid maybe around 10 to 12 years old could do everything I'm doing.
And have you pre-packaged most of the code so that the kids don't have to write the code? They use the code you've already written for most of the components of Floyd.
They can, but of course, if they query ChatGPT and say, hey, I have this code, but I want it to do this or that or that.
That's the magic there, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I didn't write the code. I mean, I did. ChatGPT and I wrote the code together. Yeah. It's not quite vibe coding. It still takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I say, hey, chat, I want the code to do this, and it spits it out, and then I try it, and then we debug it together and so on. So once again, I started this thing with, writing 6 lines of code in Python.
Yeah.
So, and now then 6 became 50 and then 100. And now I'm up to maybe the total code base for the robot's probably 1,000 lines.
So basically a kid will be able to top out what you show it to do in its capacity relatively quickly. But given that they have the access to all the same things you had access to, if they wanted to go further and they had the inclination and the drive, they could figure it out, which is where the educational part comes in.
I think a kid that would be motivated will probably go further faster than I will, because I'm doing this on the weekend, you know, evenings or weekends, something like that.
Yeah.
Kids tend to have a lot of free time.
Yeah.
And they also have a certain, you know, brain plasticity,
right,
where they can pick things up pretty fast. And that's my hope, is that they'll get into it. My hope is that they'll start sending me videos of their robots that they've built. Right. And I'll go, whoa, that's cool.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
This is a perfect little Christmas kit.
Yeah.
If you had a kid who was into it, you could just buy all the open source kit. You're not selling it, right?
So, I don't sell it.
But you could just tell people where to buy it. Just buy all the little components and then
this is not easy for any educator to do, which is to get the student to be motivated to educate themselves on their own to do the thing. So you've actually created something where you create that possibility, and if they really want to, like, if it catches, right, they have the access to go as high into this and as deep in as they want. That's a really interesting – it strikes me that there's some brilliance in your idea with this.
I would imagine not every kid is going to get sparked by it, but the ones who really get sparked by it are going to go deep.
Yeah.
And then it just opens up this whole universe for them.
Totally.
And that's the thing. I mean, I don't know about you. That's what I'm always trying to do with my kid. I'm not trying to shunt her into any given specific narrow outcome. I'm just trying to give her all of the opportunities and just see what sparks. Are you into piano? No. Okay. Try the guitar? No, none of that. Okay. Robots? Fine. Yeah. Do it.
Oh, totally.
Go deep.
Totally.
Let's roll with the robots.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay, so what's the first video somebody should watch? I'm plopping them down in front of this thing tonight. What's the first one they should watch?
There's a playlist. There's a variety of videos on the site, maybe getting close to 100 at this point. But there is a playlist of how-to tutorials.
Yeah.
The videos are all very low budget. They're all very unedited. They're very raw, and they have kind of a quirky – that's part of the quirky charm here, is there's nothing – They're pretty unfiltered.
Yeah.
Let's think of it that way. And just the intent is I'm building a character of like, hey, if I can do this, you can do this.
Yeah.
And so that's all, you know, kind of by design. Plus, I don't have the time or energy to learn video editing. I just it's right. one more thing, right? So totally. I'm just not there. So they're intended to be a lot. So there's a playlist of 10 or 12 in a row, and you just plop down in front of the first one and see if it's interesting.
Yeah.
See if it's fun. And you can watch, there's shorts. You know, YouTube supports shorts as well. So you can see the little 15 or 20 second shorts of Floyd, you know, doing his thing or answering questions, or he's learned how to battle rap. We've taught him how to, he freestyles. It's pretty good. He's remarkably good at it. And so, you know, it's all those different types of things that can kind of, and that create an entry point.
Yeah.
To catch someone's attention and kind of be fun. Let's just have fun with this.
Now, I watched one video of you talking to Floyd, and he has a really distinct personality. He's got the British accent. It's a specific ChatGPT British avatar accent. It's very endearing. But I'm assuming that's all modifiable, right? You don't have to roll with that. You can do any one of them, any one of the avatars you want.
In general, yes, you can. And the model I'm using is GPT-4o real-time, which is the low latency speech-to-speech model. In other words, it doesn't chain. It's just speech to – you give it speech in, you get speech out.
Oh, yeah.
And it's remarkably steerable. You can give him direction to be whatever style you want, whether it's going to be sarcastic, whether it's going to be amusing or bemused or the British accent, because, of course, you know, for 50 years, robots have generally had British accents in science fiction, so – I kind of rely on that trope, to start with.
Man, what a great thing for these little ones! I cannot wait to plop them down in front of this video.
Yeah,
me too. All right, well, that's a good place. Take a break. We'll be right back in a few minutes with more on Leaking Timeline and Larry Sweeney and talking about robots.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later.
800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Welcome back to Leaking Timeline on Sports Byline USA. We're in the studio today with Larry Sweeney, talking about all things robots, artificial intelligence, and the trades. What kind of a mashup is that? So I want to tell you, after the show's over today, we're, as usual, going to continue the conversation on the podcast. And if you'd like to check out the podcast, you can find that on our website, leakingtimeline.com. And Larry, you know, since we're talking about websites and such, tell us about the handles. Where can we find you?
So it's Larry's Workbench, and I've got that on multiple social media. Primarily, it's on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube, search for Larry's Workbench, I'm going to come up.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the best place for static video content. Have you tried TikTok at all?
I've rolled out on TikTok. I have the TikTok account, and I've shot a couple, and I've done some on Instagram as well. And I just haven't quite committed to building the audience there as yet. But I think that ultimately I want to be on those as well. But, you know, YouTube, longer form content and the educational stuff is really what this is all about. I'm not trying to post a short and go viral. That would be lovely. But really, it's educational, and so it's YouTube, you know, where you can post a 5 or 10 minute thing.
Yeah, Larry's Workbench on YouTube. I got to tell you, TikTok scares the absolute bejeepers out of me. I don't want to touch it. It seems like the most toxic, addictive thing in the universe. Let's stay away from that.
Totally.
Anyway, all right, folks. Thanks so much for being with us this week on the Leaking Timeline. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel, and our timeline will continue leaking. See you there.